This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled The Work Now Begins, was delivered on December 26th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
And thank you, James. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Oh, our worship was awesome. Thank you so much. I hope you all had a great Christmas, stayed safe, spent it with a lot of family. I see some of the families here, Jovan from Alaska, Marsha from California. Look at, and then there's online, there's some Arizona and Washington. It's like, wow. Man, with this internet, we can just go all over the world, yeah? Well, it's good to see you here. Christmas was really wonderful. I got to spend it with the family, my granddaughter, my two daughters, and my sons-in-law. Well, one of them had to work. He's a fireman, so he had to go and rescue whoever he had to rescue. But oh, this morning, it was kind of chilly, yeah? Little bit, small kind. Yeah, it was little bit. Yeah, it was like, was beautiful in short pants and t-shirt down here. Yeah, it was like, oh. And, you know, I was just getting up early this morning and seeing all the stars. It's like, wow, thank you so much. Because the last few days was just clouds and was kind of like my front yard is soggy. I went through most of the week with damp socks all day. You have a good, that's not fun, yeah, walking around with cold feet and damp socks. It's just not a good combination. But thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you for each and every one of you here this morning. We got 1 week until this year is gone. I mean, like, less than a week, 6 days, and it's gone. It's over. 2021 is finished. You guys ready for a new year? Yeah, you're like, good riddance, 2020, 2021. I had enough of all this, but hey, I want to encourage you. There's a Bible reading plan at the greeting table. Grab one, so come January 1st, Saturday, when we're not open yet, you guys can start reading Genesis with us and follow along as we read the Bible, through the Bible together as a church. So I encourage you, grab one of these. It's right by the flower vase. And you can read along with us. Yes. So now, Christmas is done. All the gifts are open. You know, hopefully we got to share Jesus with our family and our friends and our neighbors, relatives. And that's just the beginning. Because now, after we get them saved, the work, the real work, begins now. You know, if you ever went to the doctor, you know, maybe you went and you had something done, maybe a procedure, outpatient, short stay, whatever it is. You know, the doctors and the staff, they always come in afterwards, and they ask, "How are you doing? How are you feeling?" You know, if you ever had surgery. Man, and you had to stay in the hospital. When I had my surgery for my colon cancer, they gave me that stuff that you got to suck on. And you got to keep that ball floating for so many seconds. And then if you cannot do that, then you cannot leave. So you try hard. And the doctor said, well, you cannot leave. The ball is only like going this far off the bottom. It's like, oh man, I really, really want to get out of here. You know, it was, I think it was July 1st I had surgery. And I wanted to be out by the fort so I could play fireworks, right? So I was like, so the doctor said, you got to work on it. So every moment I was up, I would just try and suck on that thing to get that ball floating. And it was so hard. And I kept doing it, and I kept doing it. And until you do that, you know, they come and check on you and says, how are you doing? And you got to do that in front of the doctor. And then, you know, you finally get it to where it floats for enough time. And then they say, okay, looks like you'd be able to get out of here today. Yes. And when you go home, they always call you or they schedule an appointment to follow up, make sure that, you know, you didn't get infected or everything went well. And I believe that's the practice for the doctors. They want to make sure that whatever they did worked and that your quality of life is good and not miserable. So it's the same kind of principle that we have here. What do we do after the harvest? Right? What do you do after the harvest? After, you know, the harvest season of Christmas, what do you do after your friends, your relatives receive Jesus? A lot of pastors say that the week after Christmas and the week after Easter are the most important weeks of the year. The work isn't finished. It actually has just begun. We cannot sit back and relax. I believe that's when the real work starts. You know, a lot of times, some of our men, we like to go fishing. That's why we have a lot of fishing stories. And if you ever go fishing with me, or if you ever hang out with me, you probably would end up in a sermon somewhere or somehow. That's why James is in a lot of them, because he's so easy to pick on because he catches so much fish. But we go fishing, and we have been blessed sometimes with a decent catch. And, you know, when the fish is biting, that's like the fun part. You know, I get a stiff neck and a sore arm, but I'm not complaining. But catching fish is fun. It's easy. But after we catch all that fish, we fill up the cooler. That's when the work begins. And it's not reeling up the fish after fish after fish. But when we stop and we get ready to go home, a lot of times on the way out from our fishing spot, we'll stop at the nearest part of the road that's closest to the ocean. And we'll sit down in a tide pond and we will clean fish. And sometimes it'll take us 2 hours. Yeah, and that's how much God blesses us. And your hands get all cut up. So if you ever have a device that requires your fingerprint, after you clean fish, it no longer works. It's like, come on. Because your fingers are all scratched up from the fish and the scales. So that's, and then you think about it. Okay, we clean the fish. The work is still not done. Because when you get home, what do you got to do? You got to go bag that fish. Or you got to go get the oil hot. And you got to go fry that fish. Work is not done until it's all given away or it's all eaten. Right? So we get to share Jesus with people during Christmas and Easter. The real work starts. People accept Jesus, but we cannot stop there. We need to be like that doctor. Make some follow-up calls. You know, because if they receive Jesus, whether your relative, your friends, your neighbors, your family members, if they receive Jesus and we fail to follow up with them, we may never see them again until next season, if that. If we caught all that fish, you ever put fish that you caught and not cleaned, you ever put that in your freezer? It stays there, yeah? Because nobody wants to defrost fish and then clean it, right? It's like you put a fish that's not cleaned in your freezer, it'll stay there until it gets freezer burned, until you clean out your freezer next season, right? And then if that's the case, then sometimes I think God will not bless you with fish because you didn't steward what you caught well last time. That's why I think it's important for us to do these things. So when we get people to receive Jesus, which is like the best thing ever, sometimes we need to ask some questions. And here's some of the questions we can ask. Did you confess that you are a sinner and repent of your sins? Oh, those are in the bulletin. Oh, right on. I must have done something right. Number two. Did you call upon the Lord to come into your heart? Did you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior? These are some of the questions you can ask them. Number three, did you mean what you said to God in prayer? I mean, was it sincere? Did you really ask for forgiveness of sin? Did you really ask him truly to come into your life? And if they said yes to these questions, that's great, because according to the scriptures, they are saved. Then it's time to start coaching them or discipling them. And I believe the best way to do that is get them started. Get them started on our reading plan. And then guide them through the reading plan. Because maybe you should ask them, when you read, if you have questions, ask. How many of you read the Bible and you go, huh? And you watch it go like, wow, that went way over my head. Holy smokes. There's some preachers like that. They're so smart. And when I listen to their teaching, it's like, wow, what was that? That sounded really good, but I had no clue what they said. Hopefully that doesn't happen here, because I ain't that smart, and I don't use that big words, so that you can understand it. But we got to get them into some kind of reading program. Now, if we fail to do this, you can bet that the enemy will do everything he can to get them to stop and not go any further to develop their relationship with God. So here's what we need to do. Here's where the work begins. Number one, follow up. If you invited somebody, maybe they came online, maybe they were in your house, maybe they came over for Christmas and you shared it with them, ask them some of these questions. In Acts 15:36, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord to see how they are." So Paul, he was like a traveler. He went from city to city, town to town, planting churches and discipling people. So he went on like 3 missionary journeys. So after his first one, he says, man, we need to go back. We need to go back and go check on these churches to see how they're doing. This was really, really important. Yeah? This is really important because there were plenty false teachers. And Paul went back to make sure that, you know, he preached the word. See, he came here, he preached the word, and he left. He went to Kona. And then some guy with this strange new doctrine came in and started preaching, you know, something different. Right? Something different according to what the Word of God says. So he went back to follow to make sure that wasn't happening. You know, we get people to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, but if we leave it right there, I believe that they will probably not grow or fall away. In Matthew 12:43, Jesus says this, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house, which I came. And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be also with this evil generation." Jesus, he was describing the attitude of the nation of Israel, the religious leaders in particular. They were cleaning up one's life without filling it with God. And that would have left plenty of room for Satan to come back. the book of Ezra records how the people rid themselves of idolatry, but failed to replace it with love for God and obedience to Him. You know, when we rid our life of sin, that's the first step. We must also take the second step of filling our life with God's Word and the Holy Spirit. That's why we encourage you to read. Here, the nation of Israel, the leaders, they were just so corrupt. When we get people to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, that's when the work begins. We receive Jesus, we repent, we cleanse our lives, we clean it up from the inside out. We take the next step, we fill our lives with His Word, the Holy Spirit. If we remain unfilled and complacent, I think, you know, we become just prime targets for the enemy. Because, you know, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, He does not like it. And He will do whatever He can to get you to stop right there and not go any further. If you know anyone receiving Christ, then take them a yes booklet found on our greeting table. And if you need one, take one for yourself. It's a book that kind of gets you started in your walk with the Lord. So after we get them saved, we get them started on a reading program, we get them moving in the right direction, we might want to sit with them and have them count the cost of what it would take to follow Jesus. Because although salvation is free, there really is a cost to follow Christ. And I truly believe that once we know Christ and what He has done for us, we'll gladly give anything to follow Him. We exchange our sinful life for salvation. In Luke 14, 26 to 30, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple." And don't take it wrong. The word hate, that's a powerful word, yeah? And it's not like you hear it from your kids, "I hate you." It's powerful, it hurt. But when I think when they use the word hate here, doesn't mean the way we take it, hate. I think they use the word hate here, meaning to love less. Yeah? So if anyone comes to me and does not love less than God, love less than Christ, his own father, mother, because we gotta love them first, right? Christ. Then we gotta love less our father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, then we love Christ. Yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? You ever build a house, kind of figure out, okay, I need so much money to build this house. Calculate the cost. I know when I built my house, right at the end, I kind of ran out of money. I really did. So you know what happened? I had to learn how to put flooring down. I had to learn how to lay tile. I learned a lot of stuff running out of money. You know, running out of money can be a good thing, because if you run out of money, you learn how to fix your car. You learn how to fix your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer. You learn how to do a lot of stuff when you don't have money, because it's easy to just like, oh yeah, just buy a new one. But the cost of following Christ, yeah. And then in verse 29, otherwise when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." That was me in building my house, but I had to learn and I finished it. What will it cost? They may ask you, if you get somebody saved, if you get somebody saved, they may ask, well, what will it cost me to follow Christ? Well, first thing, You get to give up sinful lifestyle to a righteous lifestyle. We get to be a part of a family of encouragers. We get to cut out things that really have no purpose in our life. It may seem like a high price to pay, but when you draw close to God, it really doesn't seem like much, and it's a joy to do. When I first came to know the Lord, when I first moved to this island, I used to dream of going fishing wherever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to. Now, I don't get to go as much, but when I do, I enjoy it because I go with my brothers in Christ, and we have a wonderful time. Before knowing Christ, I used to go fishing with a cooler of beer and a bottle of scotch and come home with nothing but a hangover. Nothing to eat, not even the bait. I think I'd eat that at the beach. Now, when I go fishing, I go with some water, maybe a few energy drinks, because if the fish is biting, you got to stay up. Yeah? I mean, I go with that and some food. I go with a clear mind, and I fish with my brothers, singing at the very edge of the cliff, praising the Lord. And I come home with fish. Yeah. I had to give up going to the bars at night. Now I get to spend my evenings with my wife or doing Bible study. I got to give up smoking. Yeah. You know, when I was fishing, I have learned the art of smoking a cigarette without hands. I could have the cigarette in my mouth and inhale and exhale and fish at the same time. But I gave that up. I don't have to do that no more. I got to give up smoking. I got to give up drugs. I got to give up swearing. Man, it feels so good not to cuss. I think the worst words I use is idiot. And you know when that happens, right? When I'm driving. And even that is wrong. When I use this lips to curse man who was created in God's image. So I still have work to do, a lot of work. You know, the price we pay for following God is well worth it. I have no regrets. I even quit my job to do full-time ministry. No regrets. Sometimes we might have to find new friends for a season. When I came to Christ, I had to kind of give up hanging around certain people for a season. And my neighbor is one of my primary examples. He's a really great guy. I love hanging out with him. But for a couple years, I couldn't go by him because even to this day, when I visit him, he offers me a beer and a cigarette. And I'm good. I can resist all that. But when I was young, I couldn't. So I had to kind of stop for a little while. But I go and I can hang out with him and we'd be good. Sometimes we got to do that for a season. If you know anyone who has recently received Christ, please go. Please go and follow up. Because that's when the work begins. That's when the discipling starts. Take them a Bible reading plan. And if you need to take them a Bible, we have some outreach Bibles that you can give to them. And with a reading plan. Maybe you need to get them a journal so they can write down the scriptures. Teach them. And if you need to learn, let us know. We'd love to teach you. Teach them how you can, you know, get into God's word. Because there are many, many gems in there. Priceless gems that we can take with us. Because the Bible says the word of God will last forever. So when we teach them how to read the Word of God, this is something that they can take with them forever. So we teach them how to get gems. And if you are trying to figure that out for yourself, come and see us. We gladly show you how we go about reading God's word and extracting the precious gems that he has. How to clearly hear the voice of God. Together, you know, you and I, we can not only get the people saved, but as the word says, get them discipled so that they're not just here during Christmas or Easter, but that they're here all the time, and we teach them how to lay a foundation so solid that when troubles come their way, because we know that troubles will come their way, that they will not be shaken. Amen? And that's what it is. The work is just starting. So, you know, whatever resources you need, whether for somebody else or for yourself, you need help reading and understanding the Bible, we are here. We are here to help you with that, to encourage you, because we want you to grow in the Lord. We want not only this coming year, 2022, but for the rest of your life, be able to extract gems from the Bible. I've been reading the Bible through and through for the last, this is 2021, 20 years at least, about there, yeah, 20 years. I read the Bible every year, right through, and every year, God tells me something different as I go through the scriptures. And sometimes if he tells me the same things, then I realize, like, I didn't learn the first time. So he needs to give me that reminder. How many of you, when you are told something the first time, how many of you listen? Wow, we got a whole bunch of honest people here. Lord, we're finding honest people in church today. That's a good thing, because I don't listen the first time either, and sometimes God got to remind me. And if I got to read it again a third year or fourth year, like, oh, I better get going on this and listen. But whatever you need, you know, however you need to get it done, drawing closer to God, you know, let us help you. Let us help you, because that, when we can teach you how to read and extract all these gems, then, you know, it'll be just a wonderful thing. People will be coming to you for counseling and for wise advice. Even if they're not Christians, they'll look at you and say, wow, I got to go see him or her because they know what's going on. Amen? You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Hey, we still do need Sunday school teachers, and we need greeters and parking lot directors and anything you can think of. We can use you in this fellowship. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And maybe you might be here. Maybe you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe that's why you came today, to hear the good news that Jesus came to give us life. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if that's you and you need to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me, cleanse me, make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody? God bless you over there. Anybody else? Bless you back there. Anyone else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And, you know, this Christmas, they have received the best gift ever, the gift of eternal life. Now, Lord, the work begins. Use us in training them, in helping them, in discipling them, and so help we can help them draw closer to you. We thank you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Give the Lord praise.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we are recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.